Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to be learning the halachas of the soap in Shaila, and let's get to the bottom of this, using soap on Shabbos, and maybe we'll speak about the bialach as well, about using soap on weekdays as well, an interesting point of here in bialach, which I'd like to discuss as well. So let's go over the words of the Rama, Simon Shinchov of page Kuf Samach Beis, if Yud. The Rama says the following, V'kolchkin beboiris shikonin zayif. As I said, in Zayf is a soap. Shkir is Balash Nashkin is a soap. Or Bishar Chel, if you've got fatty substances or soaps. He said that you cannot use that on Shabbos. Shini Moach Al Yodov, it's a solid item which goes soft and liquid on Shabbos, which is also I've noted, and therefore it's Noilat. So here we go. We've got a problem of Noilat. Noilat. You're making something which was a solid substance into a liquid substance. And that is Noilat, and that's why it's also on Shabbos. That's the prime Issa. Now, therefore, the soap that he's referring to, which is similar to a bar of soap, is also on Shabbos. B'shachel, the wax, that is the fattest kind of substance, is also something which would get liquidized by having water on it. It will go soft and liquidy, and that will be, therefore, a problem of Noilat. Now, the Mishnah Berurah goes and he discusses the Sifkot Lamed, the following, it's not very far, not very different than the crushing of snow and hail, Shinizbal El Basim Shinchov, that we discussed in Shim Shinchov, Sha'osugam Kimitamze, which is also because of this particular type of Noilat. It's when you have snow and you're trying to crush it and it gets into water, that's also for the same reason. Solid into liquid, also. There is mekilim. Morgan Avraham brings the shilti gom, which is lenient. The sphere lehu holds. The mashal of chazal, the rasik shelik vaot, mishum gzeis chitz peiros haomdim lezich mashkin. He said, so if there are made matirim, why would you matter? Why? What could be a reason? Why? To crush snow is also. But to use soap, solid soap, is mutter. What could be a reason for that? If making solid into liquid is a problem, so what's the difference? Why should be using soap any different? Crushing snow is also, categorically. So why should soap be any different? Why should soap be any different? So he brings that there's one opinion that holds that he said that when it comes to snow, and it's not really, snow is something which is can often be ending up into water. It's quite a normal thing that snow, we don't drink, admittedly, we don't drink snow, but it's something with snow which will turn into water, and that's fine, and it's a normal purpose. You make snow, goes into water. But it's something which is, it's meant for its water. the soaps, however, is something which is not meant to get liquid. You're meant to use it, and some of it will turn into a liquid. But it's not meant for intrinsically to turn into a liquid. And therefore, it's unlike the snow. So the snow is also midrabanon to turn into water, but the soap is therefore muta according to those opinions. But again, these are mekilim and many poskim asa. And now comes the next part. Now comes the next part, the next page of the Mishnah. He says that the Tiferes Yisrael says that our soaps, Shirako, which is a little bit softer, Lukula Amosom Shemachik, you've got Memachik here. Another Melacha of Memachik, of Memachik, Vikenzim at Isalin, Shaiva Beshim and Shin Yudalatif, Yudalef Einchom, Vikem at Sosi Bediva Menachem, Beshema Seroikach, Milchashab, Bepek of Bezmel Chashabas in Yud Gimel, to Memareach, or Memareach, or Ab Melach, Psikresha, Vuposhut. Says the Mishnah Berurah now, there is many achronim hold that if you've got a soap, what he calls a rako, it means, but it's probably it's not doesn't mean absolutely soft. It's more like the bars of soap that we have there. Besides the fact you have got an issa of turning into a liquid potentially, there's another problem as well. You're making it, you're spreading it evenly. To spread a bar of soap and that spreading action, that is melocha of memachik, which is also medaraisa, as the Mishnah Berurah says, av melocha. And this is why, another reason why using a bar of soap is also because of memachik, spreading. You are spreading it, and it's no different. Like we know that when you cut a soft wax, Chanukah is coming, so you've got soft wax, and you're making it, you're making it flat, you're making it even, you're flattening it, or you're making it straight and even, and that's a melach v'machek. So it's not very different when you've got a bar of soap, which is a little bit wet now, and a little bit moist. If you make that into a soft area, into an even area, that's melach v'reisah, v'machek, you say that's poshut. V'yeish, lehazir omal zeh me'od. One should protest and tell people about this. How can they show you the words of the Divrei Menachem? And he says that. So Rabbi Yisrael, when it comes to soap, there's two potential problems. And we've got to address our liquid soaps as well. The two problems that we have got potentially is turning a solid into a liquid, point number one. Point number two, to spread something evenly, like the wax, that's another problem, which is Amalocha. So therefore, a solid bar is an issur d'oraisa. I think everybody agrees. To use a solid bar of soap, that's also the kol alma, potentially d'oraisa. I think we all agree on that. When it comes to liquid soap, and let's address this now, liquid soap. So there is indeed an opinion of Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe Feinstein asks it. And Reb Moshe Feinstein said that even liquid soaps is also to use on Shabbos. He says, because really what you're doing here also, you are making a substance which is a slightly more solid substance. You're making it into much more liquid, as well as you're making the bubbles around it. And he said that's very much your intention. You want to create that. Reb Moshe therefore holds that it is also, and it is and is also to use a liquid, what we call a liquid soap, is also to use on Shabbos. Many of Reb Moshe's Talmidim argue with him. And many of Moshe's Talmidim, however, still quote him because it's a fair. And Moshe's psak is a psak which is it's perhaps questionable, but it's something which Moshe was very firm. He wouldn't change his mind about it, and he was quite firm. I heard this from one of his very important Talmidim. He said that he would argue with him about it many times, but Moshe was very opinionated about this. That this is also to use a liquid soap on Shabbos. There is other poskim as well. Mr. Karelitz is quoted to ask of it, but I think it is still true to say that the majority of Klal Yisrael, of even the Yireim Lidvar Hashem, the Makpidim, I think it's true to say that the majority are probably Mekel, and they will use liquid soaps without much reservation. Although, having said that, it is true to say that it is very proper and it is right to do it the way you've described it yesterday. To before you're actually using it, you're adding a bit of water to the soap before actually using it. What are you gaining by doing that? What are you gaining by adding water to the soap before using it? What are you gaining? Before you put soap on your hand and then you add water and only then you... Less noila, that's right. Because it is already a liquid at that point. It's much more liquidy. You can call it... To make something into liquid is not also. If you have the soap and you put water to it, so admit it, it's true that it's not completely merged and mixed, and it's not a united kind of item. But still, if you look at it in a broad way, it's not, you know, actually, it's considered already a much more liquidy kind of item, and therefore it's better to do that. It is true, however, to say that many poskim hold you don't need to do it. It's true to say that many poskim hold it's fine without it. But I suppose
some people might feel if it's very thick.
Yeah. So there is poskim that will differentiate within the soaps. It's true. Some poskim will define a liquid soap if it is something which will run naturally in your hand. They will consider that a runny substance and in a liquid, and therefore they will hold that you don't have to worry about it whatsoever. Some define it a bit different, and some define it that it is, if it's got some semi-solid structure to it, if it's not, then it is really, it potentially could be a shayla already. It's very wide. The spectrum of the poskim is very much from the very right, from the left. I think that was Nosach Yuznes, and that's correct. And a person should, I suppose, do the way he feels comfortable, the way he is always paskind. But it's, I suppose it's important to know that it does range on a very, very, very wide opinion of poskim. But I want to emphasize that Moshe was very firm about his opinion, but it's still true to say that I think it's a minority opinion, and the roiv of the poskim hold that liquid soap is mutter.
So, I guess this is one of the areas where sometimes you have to differentiate between halakhic molecules and physical molecules.
Let's hear.
I was going to ask, the fact that the biggest ingredient in any liquid soap or shampoo is always going to be water, does that actually make any difference?
Mm.
Because if you look at any, I mean, I know that this makes me a real nerd, but I sometimes read the bottles of shampoo in the shower, and it says aqua, sodium lauryl sulfate, cocamidopropyl betaine, EDTA. But anyway, the point is, those are all there, remember. So the point is, aqua is always the first ingredient, which means that it's the largest ingredient, which means that...
It's the majority of it is water anyway.
Well, certainly the largest constituent of it is going to be water.
Yeah.
Before you add anything.
So you're saying that she's saying that it, since anyway the majority of it is water, so it should be surely considered a liquid in terms of...
It's already
yeah.
an aqueous solution.
I want to know a solid bar of soap. How much water has it got?
Probably none, because that's the point. This is what he was saying in the Mr. Burra quoting. Was it who was quoting? I forget who he was quoting. But he was saying that the Menahem,
yeah.
basically what he's saying is, snow and borrowed, they is are water, except that they're water in a slightly different...
As opposed to the soap,
so
yeah.
You can't make it into a liquid by crushing it. You yeah. take a...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Crush soap, it's never going to...
It's never going to... Yeah, that's a good point. So I think I agree with Robert Feingold's statement. That's some of the pshat in the materium. I think I agree with that, Mahalach. That is the understanding why the Rov Poskim HaMatir is because it's primarily water and it's a watery substance, yeah. Now, there is a fascinating... Yeah.
It's a shampoo. It's not used as soap. Let's say you don't have liquid soap.
It's
normally thicker.
It's the same thing, though.
Same thing.
I mean, once you start going down the ingredients list, then you'll see there are differences here and there. But basically, the first three, four chemicals are always exactly the same in any soap, more or less.
Yeah, I also think so. L'chayra, there should be no much difference. I think it's much more about marketing and about why we buy this and why is this cheaper, why is this more expensive, more than any real... I mean, you're the expert. I don't know if there's real...
I'm not an expert.
I don't know how much difference there is between these products. Maybe the colors and... I don't know. Yeah. Okay, now Rabbi said there's a very interesting bialoch over here. And let us see if that's relevant nowadays or not. Bialoch goes into a different subject. The Shulchan Aruch said the word about chelev. Chelev is fat. We don't use fats anymore to wash our hands. But that was a common... Now, what about... it doesn't need to be a kosher fat, kosher chelev or not. It needs to be kosher. Forget about Shabbos. We're washing hands now with chelev. Because there's no... It's not kosher, right? So is this, we're talking about a trefa fat that you're using for washing your hands.
Is this because you're going to touch food
off? No, it says the Bialocha. I'm talking about the Dibur HaMaschil, the shortest one, which is one line, which is also Lichot Tzad B'Melach. That's the one, yeah? B'Shach Chelev, that's the one. Ha'im B'Vir HaGosh, Shedai Tekidaz Ha'ba Megdoi La'Poyitzkim Daf B'Choy Lasu. The Vilna Gaon says, forget about Chelev, you cannot use... Fat, trefa fat for washing your hands. Not on Shabbos, and on weekdays. Why? The sicha kishtia. There's a halachic rule, which we know from Hilchos Yom Kippur, that sicha kishtia, that if you, what's the correct translation? Sicha, if you smear something over your body, that's considered shtia, that's considered drinking.
Emoliate.
Pardon?
Emoliate.
Emoliate, is that the word?
It's a word.
Okay. Okay, so if you're, I'm going to stick to the smearing. Okay, so if you, the fact that sicha, the fact that you're smearing something over your body, so that will is considered kashtir, like it's considered drinking. Therefore, if you're using a trefa substance and using it as a soap, says the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Gaon, that's also because sicha kashtir. We're not finished yet. Continues the Bialoch. Unlike the opinion of Rabbi Tam, who allows you, however, it is permitted. The minig is to allow it, to use chelev, to use tefer for fats. That's the minig is to be lenient. Only some people who are particularly careful with particularly makpidim, they're very careful. They are stringent, but otherwise it's fine. And if it is possible and easy to access soaps which are not made out of tefa substance, it is certainly correct. It is certainly correct to worry to go with this opinion. Oh, very good. So saying that, so this chelev is something which is oil achila. You can eat it. Yeah, but sich is always lo derech achila, and nevertheless, sich gestir is a rule. And even if I'm not going to eat it, but the fact that I'm smearing it, it's considered as if I'm drinking it. That's the concept of sich gestir.
What's the kasha on Israel? On Israel, not eating
kosher? Yeah. By smearing on your skin, trefa, it's as if you're drinking it. Drabonon. And the Mishnah Berurah says, one, there is mekilim, but it is proper to makpid on that. So I hear, now comes the point. Now it's coming. So I understand we're talking about wax, fat. They use very literally fat of trefa animals. And used to smear that, okay, that's sich gestir. Mishnah Berurah says there is room for leniency, but it's good to be machmir if you can. Question is, what about nowadays, Rabbi Sai? Tovshin ein tes. Is there such a concern? Yes or no? Is there any point being machmir and buying soaps with achsha? So I know there's people who will only buy toothpaste with achsha, and that's very hard to find a reason for that. But okay, and there's people who are makpid on all kinds of chumras. I want to ask this chumra now. Is there any point in being makpid and buying and purchasing soaps with a hechsher? Yes or no? Because, not because you end up drinking it, not because you're going to end up emptying the bottle and enjoying the strawberry taste of the, no, but simply because of sicha kishtir. Is there any problem with that? Or not?
So no. Because any animal products
is
very much bottled with shishim.
Bottled shishim, okay.
This is good for the machlokes between Rav Moshe and most of the other places about Pesach.
Pesach, nivsa mechlas kalev. How about say, I was shown recently some, yeah. Yeah. True, not but it's not necessarily if it's davar ma'amid, you don't say bottle of shishim. Rabbi Sai, I was shown recently, and I wonder if anybody's got access to the internet at the moment, because there's a fascinating article by the OU, which I strongly recommend. It's called "What's the Truth About Kosher Soap?" Can you quickly access it, because I want to read. Can you read the first paragraph? It's unbelievable. "What's the Truth About Kosher Soap?" An article by the OU. And he addresses that very question I discussed now, based on this bialocha that we just saw now. What is the truth about kosher soap? And believe it or not, the reality is that after some research done by the highly, the team in the OU, they're the experts, they're mamashi, incredible. The OU, they're really amazing. And they've done research, and there, have you found it? Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that's how it looked. Yeah. I didn't see the picture, but that is it. So they've done research, and believe it or not, the soaps nowadays, Chaimish, you won't believe it, but they are still often containing tefa. I don't know if that's what you're going to... So he said, can I read the article over here by the... It's a fascinating... It's really fascinating. This is by OU. It's a story behind kosher soap. Soap production is historically used animal fats, thank you so much, that they are then processed with a strong alkali, yeah, such as sodium hydroxide. Yeah, you're correct me, please. Okay. Due to the many kosher laws that go, we carry on. One second, I'm skipping over here. That's not the part that I wanted. No, one second, it was slightly different. The story around, because one second, there's one.
You're going to search for a keyword.
It said. It brings this bialocha. That's what I remember seeing. What's the truth? The truth, not the story about the truth. It's in the OU's Is there anything else about kosher? If you kosher soap, again, kosher soap. So I believe what it says there, what I remember seeing, it's a very similar article to that, but it's not exactly that. Maybe they've updated it. Over there, it says that, first of all, the fact is that it still uses teff ingredients. And whilst there's strong argument to say what you've said now, that it's nifsa mechilas kelevi, maybe different, but in terms of sichi kashtia, this problem still exists. So there is the bialochus chumra is perhaps still relevant nowadays as well. So if there is, certainly mutter to use teff for soap, it's certainly mutter, but if a person wants to find himself a new chumra, if a person wants to find himself a new chumra, and he fancies something which is soap related, this is the one. Oh, what's the truth record? That's exactly it. So it says misconception. Misconception. This is OU talking, okay? Misconception. There's no valid reason to use kosher soap. That's what he says, a misconception. Fact, there are solid halachic bases for using kosher soap exclusively. People often fail to, can I just read this paragraph, it's just a short paragraph. People often fail to consider what marvelous substance soap is. When used with water, it loosens unwanted particles, emulsifies grease, and absorbs dirt into foam. Its efficacy is usually due to a chemical reaction between an acid and a base. Typically, the acid derives from either vegetable or animal fat. Historically, most soaps are made from animal fat. Even today, excluding vegetarian soap, most soaps are made from animal fat. For example, Ivory soap, that must be advertised in whatever, is, according to its website, made of both vegetable oils and animal fats. In response to my telephone inquiry, the Procter & Gamble spokesman stated that the animal fats in Ivory are usually discarded tallow of beef and pork. In addition, animal fats are the main ingredients in Ivory, making up over 50% of the product.
Okay, that's not bottled.
Yeah, you know, all fats from non-kosher animals and certain fats known as chelev are prohibited for consumption. And then he goes into our bialoch that we discussed now, the sichi kashtia, and then he says that he brings from many poskim that that you can see Mamash brings our bialoch over here, and he brings from many poskim that said that there is room for leniency, etc. But if a person is able to be makbid and machmir, there's room for it. And he says he brings that a stipple was very makbid on it. He would never use the stipple makbid to use soaps that would only with a reliable heksha. And Reb Chaim Oizad, the generation before the war, he was praising when the first kosher soap came out. He praised it and he said that's a very nice chumra indeed. So all I'm saying is that obviously it's a fascinating art. If a person wants to be mahad and machmed, there is room for that. And as opposed to truth based, for instance, which is much harder to find a reason to be machmed on truth based with the heksha, besides Pesach. But the soap, there's a solid halachic reason to be makbid.
So what are the colors?
Yeah. Ein sham over here. That it has to do with the fact that it's very much nifsal. And it's not the same case over here because this is proper chelev. We're not talking about chelev. He's gone through a chemical process. So there is room for leniency. Yeah.
If a person's
leafy,
can they wash his hands
with milk? Yes, because it's not. Sicha doesn't work. It doesn't make it into achille. It's maybe equivalent if a person would have IV, then it's not, it wouldn't be considered. It's not considered. Okay, good. Rabbi said these are the points we covered tonight. It's a fascinating bialocha. It's something to think about. It's definitely food for thought. Food for thought. and it's interesting. Akbada. So Rabbi Sai, we learned tonight the reason to be makbid on soap, that we differentiate between liquid soap and hard soap, and the reason why on the motion. Then we spoke about weekday as well, the bialoch makbid on weekday as well. We're going to resume mitzvah shir on Sunday Be'ez Hashem, back to normal. So apologies for tomorrow. Okay, good evening, Rabbi Sai.